Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
And away we go with another edition of the ML Sports Platter all over the major platforms like Spotify, Google, Apple, Stitcher, and Deezer. Make sure you download, subscribe, leave feedback, and a five-star review. We are brought to you by Stanley Law Offices, Liverpool Physical Therapy, Barks and Rec Doggy Daycare, and our terrific friend Brian Conboy at MassMutual New York State. Tax-efficient retirement planning. Go with Brian today. Advisors.massmutual.com. Get your financial plan in order with Brian Conboy of MassMutual New York State, the official financial advisor of the ML Sports Platter. And a huge tip of the cap thank you as well to the Swan and Whitaker families for their support of the platform. Let's spend some time breaking down the Falcons-Bills game in which the Bills clinched a playoff berth. With the Ravens' loss, there were a lot of different ways the Bills could have gotten into the postseason with the win and several other circumstances. But the Ravens lost, and so the Bills are in. And I wanted to just kind of go, you know, head to toe with this game and recap it and kind of grab some takeaways from it. The first thing is with the Bills. I realize that they corrected the red zone offense as the game went on. You know, Devin Singletary getting two rushing touchdowns, and they ran it on several plays in a row in the second half as well. It was not a good running day for Josh Allen, or a good throwing day for Josh Allen. It was a great running day for the Bills across the board, which is good in a couple of different ways. One, it shows that you can win in a couple of different ways, and number two, the Bills need a little bit of that balance as well. But if they're going to try and make a run to the Super Bowl, they can't have a passing day like that. You'd like to pull back on the rushing yards maybe by about 100 and then have Allen go for 220 and not throw three interceptions in four attempts, right? But the red zone offense, been saying it for a while, and the analytic people could listen to this and just completely say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Here's what the numbers say. But I don't need all of the analytic crap. If you watch the game, you know what happens. Now, percentages, chances in the red zone and all that, sometimes numbers can be deceiving. But with the Bills, it feels like one of two things happen. They don't score at all, or it takes them so many hurdles to jump over in order to get into the red zone. Just take, for example, in the beginning of the game, right? The Bills, first of all, Atlanta got the safety off of the fumble by Marquez Stevenson, and frankly, the Bills got really lucky on that. They recover it. It's a safety. The Falcons get it back. The defense makes a crazy great stand right away to give the ball back to the Bills. With 3:15 left in the first quarter, the Bills put together a really, I mean, nice drive over 6 minutes, 15 plays, 69 yards, you know, a bunch of third down conversions, and they punch it in with the Josh Allen one-yard TD. But if you remember that drive and what was happening down at the goal line, it was really, really, really difficult to watch. Right? It really was. Like, the Bills got down there. It was first and 10 at the Atlanta 15. Allen scrambled for 6 yards. Then they're second and 4 at the 9. Devin Singletary goes right tackle for no gain. Then it's third and 4. Josh Allen passes short right to Diggs for 5 yards. It's a first and goal at the Atlanta 4. Let me repeat that. First and goal at the Atlanta 4. Allen passing complete. Dawson Knox. Allen short left to McKenzie. To the Atlanta 3 for 6 yards. That was, of course, after a penalty, which is another problem in the red zone. The Bills are just getting too many penalties. Then it was second and 3 at the Atlanta 3. Incomplete to Diggs. Then it was Allen incomplete, short left to Diggs. I think that was the play where Allen threw it really, really hard, but it was still in the grasp. I think Diggs probably should have made that catch. And then the Bills, you know, it took them fourth down and a timeout, you know, just to get Allen, you know, to, well, they, you know what, there's another thing that I forgot. Allen passed incomplete to Diggs, but there was a penalty. And on that sequence of events in the red zone, the Falcons actually got away with a bunch of holds. Nothing was called. Then the Bills got bailed out by a call, which was the right call, but they, you know, you still get a PI. You don't plan on, well, hey, if we don't convert, hopefully we can get a penalty. You don't think like that, like, oh, we'll get bailed out. But they did. And the Falcons, that was a crucial penalty. It was DPI and a two-yarder and force at the Atlanta 3. So then it was first and goal from the 1, right? And that right there gives the Bills, obviously, brand-new life. Deion Dawkins reports as an eligible receiver. Allen passes incomplete to him. And then on second and goal at the Atlanta 1, finally, the Bills score the touchdown. 1 yard rush from Josh Allen. It was a great play call. But you go back to all those plays. I mean, look at how many calls, look how many calls and audibles and a timeout and the nonsense and needing a penalty and a drop and everything that went into it for them to get a score. It's a lot when they get down there, you know? It really is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 plays needed to be run when they were at first and 10 from the 15, and then eventually first and goal at the 4, and then eventually first and goal at the 1. Which, again, that was because of the DPI. So the red zone offense, to me, they got to clean that up big time. Allen continued to look good, I thought, in the beginning of the game. This was a really, really, really tough game eventually for him. And, you know, the Bills got it back. They score again, 14-2. Allen runs it in again. And you're sitting there saying, okay, this should really be the Bills game to just blow them out and rest the starters. And nope, it didn't happen. The Bills got the ball back and they get down again in the red zone area, and Allen throws into chaos. You know, he throws into chaos. And by the way, it should be noted that when the Bills were up 7-2, just a tremendous job by Gregory Rousseau. He came in and stripped the ball from Matt Ryan, and Harrison Phillips recovered it at the Atlanta 18. And then the Bills proceeded to take the ball in, you know, for another touchdown with the Allen run at 14-2. Then the Bills get it back, but they obviously just a horrendous interception. Before that, Atlanta had a field goal to make it 14-5, and really the Bills were down there and they should have scored to make it 21-5, and it would have been an absolute. At that point, ass-kicking, the Bills were getting the ball back at the start of the second half. I mean, it was just playing into their hands. Even if you throw it away there and you're Josh Allen, even if you throw it away, it's really simple, right? You get the field goal, and you're up 17-5. You know, that's a decent margin. You're controlling the game. The defense is playing well. You're at home. Just throw the ball away. Instead, he threw it into chaos, and it was intercepted by Harmon, and then the touchback happened, of course, off of that, and then the Falcons took it down, scored a touchdown. Bills throw another interception. The Falcons, get a field goal, and all of a sudden, they're leading the game 15-14. Then you go to the second half. Josh Allen throws another interception. And the one before that, of course, was the Beasley, you know, miscommunication sort of thing. He stopped the route and all the rest. Allen didn't read it in time. Probably more on Beasley than Allen, but Allen still has to have some, at least better recognition than that. You know, and then you kind of were getting worried, I think. I mean, at that particular point, you know, Allen throws the interception, and, you know, here's Atlanta with the lead, with the momentum, inside the 50. Should have been, you know, it should have been right there and then that the Bills mafia should have been worrying across the board. There should have been no feeling of easiness to this. But then the defense clamped down. It was at that moment where the defense said, don't worry, we got you. We're going to put it back in the hands of the offense. We're going to get points for you guys. And they did, and they shut out the Atlanta Falcons in the second half. A dominating performance by the defense in the second half. Really, it was only splash plays in the first, as it was. Remember, Kyle Pitts had that one 61-yard play. But the Bills just did a masterful job on defense, and then they just pounded the Falcons into submission with an offensive line that was finally back and healthy and everybody available for the most part. We know Ike Bucker's gone for the year, but, you know, to have everybody there and ready and available, I mean, Ryan Bates, terrific, Brown, terrific, Morse was terrific, Deion Dawkins had a sensational game. You know, they take it down 11 plays and 80 yards over 6.5-plus minutes. And they cap it with the terrific touchdown. Just the legs kept moving, and Devin Singletary had the 6-yard rush, and the 2-point conversion was great. You know, Allen to Beasley, they really needed that. They took the lead. Defense stops Falcons again. Bills get the ball again. 12 plays, 65 yards, over 7 minutes, and is capped off by another Devin Singletary rush in the end zone. And then that was all she wrote. Now, look, the Bills played probably a B-minus game in this one against Atlanta, but it was good enough to win. If they had played, you know, the Patriots, the Titans, the Chiefs, you know, the Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys, they would have probably gotten beaten or even rolled in this game. But you play who you play when you play them, and you know, I thought the Bills defensively were so good, and the running game came alive to save a passing game that just wasn't there, which is not going to happen many times with this offense led by number 17 and Diggs and Beasley and Davis, who had a great tiptoe catch that McDermott won a challenge on, which was a great win for McDermott. He doesn't win many of those. You know, Diggs, Davis, Beasley, McKenzie, Knox, Josh Allen. This is a high-powered offense that normally will get more through the air. It just happened that they did not. And Allen was kind of out of sorts, throwing picks left and right. If he could just play within himself, especially down in the red zone, really the Bills, I think, can beat anybody. I think right now the season is hinging on Josh Allen and his ability to not turn the ball over. Because if you think about, you know, the beginning of the year, there were a lot of issues with the Bills, certainly, into the middle of the year with their run defense and their injuries, offensive line, and all the rest. But since that time, you know, when the Bills were struggling in certain areas, you know, and McKenzie got benched against the Colts, and, you know, basically that 4 or 5 week stretch, you know, where the Bills had a lot of holes and you were kind of questioning what kind of a team they were. And I remember doing a video in terms of them being broken because they really looked like it. It was that stretch from late November until the middle of December, right, where they lost 3 of 4, got blown out by the Colts, lost to New England in the win game, and then at Tampa, they did find something in the second half against Tampa. But you had to look and wonder, right? And even you could go back really to the Jaguars game. I think that's probably where a lot of it started because, you know, you lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You lose 4 of 6. I mean, I just said 3 of 4, but 4 of 6 is a bigger deal to me because the Jaguars game, it's cost the Bills possibly home field advantage throughout. I mean, that's where we're at right now. I mean, they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's why the Bills aren't up where they need to be. Clearly, they had lost to the Titans, which didn't help back on October 18th. Monday night game, which is just a terrific football game. The Bills outplayed them. They should have won. Allen slipped. Dawkins got blown up on the left on the QB sneak. And sometimes those things happen. But the stretch that I'm talking about, losing three of four, but now that I think about it, it's four of six going back to the Jaguars game. The Bills' offense was getting rattled, and it was everybody had the blueprint back then. It was, here's how you beat the Bills. Get Josh Allen super flustered. He's going to turn it over and try to play hero ball. Run the football like crazy, right? Possession and clock control and all the rest. And just do enough at the quarterback position to win. That's what the Jaguars did. That's what the Colts did in blowout fashion. It's certainly what the Patriots did in Buffalo with the elements. And Tampa didn't, and it was great weather, and it was just kind of more along the lines of a shootout because of both offenses and how they played. But now you fast forward to Carolina, New England, Atlanta, these three wins that the Bills have had. The New England win on the road was huge. And the defense, which statistically, I know that people have been talking left and right about how enormous of a situation it was for, you know, how for the Bills in terms of their defense and, you know, statistically, they're number one in total defense. They're number two in this type of defense. They're number this and that. You know, that's fine. I mean, number one total defense, great. But that means that all the numbers are added in, and a lot of that can be deceiving. And the reason it can be deceiving is because they played in the beginning of the year. It was a bad Dolphin team, although they beat New England in week one. But they beat Miami 35-0. Didn't see that coming against Tua, who wasn't the Tua we have now, right? Washington, I mean, come on. Taylor Heineke, give me a break. Davis Mills. They were playing some bad quarterbacks, and the defense was able to pressure and take advantage of inferior quarterback play. And I thought the stats really got padded in those games. And then you fast forward to the later games, and you know, the Bills defense, it was kind of up and down because the ground game, they couldn't stop it, whether it was Jonathan Taylor or the Patriots or the Buccaneers and Fournette. It didn't matter. They couldn't stop them. And so I think when you look at the entire piece, you fast forward to January 9th and this week's game against the Jets, and the Bills have shored up a lot of the holes that were on this roster. You know, a lot of the problems that the Bills had, they now look a lot better. They've played the Patriots where they controlled the run. Damian Harris still got his, but they controlled it. It wasn't a 250-yard situation. They made Mac Jones try to make plays, and he messed up. The Bills' defense dominated in that game where they needed to. The Bills shut out Atlanta in the second half. The Bills dominated Carolina for the most part, defensively. So that is the defense seems to be, to me, all the way back, meaning that the statistics and the ranking and all that stuff is real because they have been playing quality opponents or quarterbacks or whatever the case may be for the most part for a good time running here. You know, Matt Ryan is at least still middle of the pack, right? I mean, he's probably in the third deck of quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Kyle Pitts is one of the best rookie receiver / tight end type guys we've ever seen. Bills went to Tampa. Bills, you know, played New England and beat them. So they've been, you know, road game, you know, at New Orleans. The defense was unbelievable in that game too, 31-6. He only allowed 6 points, for God's sakes. So the defense has come all the way back to have the numbers and the rankings be the way they should be and realistic, a lot more realistic than just saying, oh, well, they're number one in this total defense or whatever, because why? Can you tell me why? Well, yeah, I mean, they played some pretty bad quarterbacks in the beginning of the year, and, you know, they were allowing the ground game to happen. Those things were kind of leveling out, and the numbers between the turnovers and different opportunistic things that happened, the Bills were at the top of the food chain there. Now they're still at the top of the food chain, but it's a different-looking defense. I don't need the analytics. I know the defense looks a lot different. You look at A.J. Epinesa, they're getting healthy too. The Bills, you know, knock on wood, you know, Matt Milano's been in there the whole year. Tremaine Edmonds has been great, tackling and all the rest. Gregory Russo with a big game against Atlanta. Ed Oliver is starting to come on here. We know that Hyde and Poyer are going to be there. Remember, this is a defense that lost Trey White. So the Bills' defense has come all the way around in full circle in terms of stopping the run and being able to create turnovers on quarterbacks, namely Mac Jones, in the last couple games. And then you have a situation where the running game here has evolved. Devin Singletary has completely and utterly lapped Matt Breida, lapped Zach Moss, who still gets touches and who was ground and pounding against the Falcons, too. He's still maybe an important back as the game gets longer because, let's face it, we watched him wear down the 49ers. We watched him wear down the Denver Broncos last year. He can still be utilized in that role. But as far as a start-to-finish back for most carries, Devin Singletary has risen above the rest. He's hanging onto the ball a lot better. His legs are moving, and it seems as though that off-season conditioning program for Devin Singletary is really paying off right now. I don't suspect a game like that too often from Josh Allen. Sometimes things happen in sports. That was abnormal. And, you know, look, it happened, and the Bills' defense and running game bailed them out. And that's a sign of a good team. I don't think this is a great team. I don't think this is an elite team. I don't think this is a Super Bowl team. I think they're a division champion and maybe a one-win team in the playoffs. That's what they look like to me now. Having said that, they've won a few games in a row. They're starting to get a little bit of mojo and some swagger back here. If they beat the Jets, that's four in a row to close the year. And with all the topsy-turviness, the loss to the Jaguars, the injuries, Corona, getting blown out by the Colts, the Patriots' embarrassment in Western New York, Tampa Bay getting down way, 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 way early, coming back, finding some things, but still losing the game in overtime. I think most Bills fans would take an 11-win season. That's only two wins worse than last year. And again, if you just look at the game that really kills you, it's the Jaguars, because you just can't lose to the Jaguars. You know, and New England just hung 50 on those guys too, by the way. So this is a different team. Again, you can't win in the playoffs with that kind of a passing game that they had against Atlanta. But you think of it this way, like, well, it was that day and just the turnover and the turnovers from Allen. And we don't see it that often, so screw it. It's just going to be it, right? Like, that's it. I think there's probably a really, really, really important element to December and January football, and that is obviously can your game travel well. If the Bills can run it, again, I don't need what they did against Atlanta on the regular, but if they can run it even half or a little bit over half that amount and have Allen mixed in a little bit on those really nice rollouts, you got the blockade of blockers, just a tremendous wall and pulling guards and all the rest that they had in the red zone for those couple of touchdowns that Allen ran in, keeping him safe, holding him to maybe 8-10 rushes a game, and then Singletary on top of that, and a little bit of Zach Moss sprinkled in here and there, you know, that can travel well. And if they go to a warm climate, their passing game can travel well. So the Bills could be very formidable in the postseason, whether they're playing at home or on the road, because they have all of the elements to win in all conditions. This could be an all-condition football team by the time the playoffs start. And don't look now, but the Patriots might be coming to Buffalo for another game in the playoffs, because this is right now set up as a 4-5 with the Bills hosting if they both win this coming week. So that's the way I look at it with the Bills and the Falcons. Thanks for listening. This is the ML Sports Platter, all over the major platforms, brought to you by Chick-fil-A of Cicero and Clay, Elevate Fitness of Syracuse, our great, great friends at Welch & Company Jewelers. Make sure you log on to welchjewelers.com today and shop the showcase. And Brewerton Ace Hardware, inside and outside. They've got all the house items that you need, from brand new toilets to garbage cans and shovels and all your things for spring and summer. If you want to get a head start on that as well, they've got your bird seed. They have a ton of other great things, grills and more. Get on over to Brewerton Ace Hardware, Route 11 in Brewerton, in front of the Brewerton Bridge, right off of the Bartell Road exit. Hit me on Twitter at Mike L Sports. There's your Falcons Bills recap. As I always tell you, enjoy the games.